Joseph Lindsley is in Ukraine. And Joe, I watched the video the other day when you spoke to us from the Lviv Opera House on a beautiful day. And looking at that scene, it's hard to believe a horrible war is going on around you. And I marvel at the split screen from Ukraine. How you doing today?
Hey Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. And yeah, it is. I mean, it's such a, you know, for, you know, everyone from abroad who arrives here, you know, it's such a beautiful place. And it's a, you know, you think, you know, especially when I read stories from, you know, situations in many American cities, you don't, you know, there's not trash in the streets or the parks are clean. Crime is very low. You know, even if you go to a major European city, you have to worry about pickpocketing. That's not a concern here. And so it's a sign that, you know, Russian propaganda sometimes uses that to say, and they push us a lot in American social media, trying to say, oh, Ukraine doesn't need help. You know, everything looks so nice. But this is exactly what Ukrainians are fighting to defend. And, the you know, a place like Lviv, you know, in the West is pretty well protected. But even on the, you know, underneath the facade, you realize that, you know, so often many people do not have electricity. Many people are, you know, they know people who are in, you know, at the front lines. Others are preparing to go to the front lines or waiting to be called up. And so what you're seeing is a society that people have built, really a society that was recovered since 1991, since the breakup of the Soviet Union, when everything was pretty drab here by every story that I've heard and every photograph that I've seen. And then especially after that revolution in 2014, the Ukrainians were really, from that moment, they were free of Moscow control. And that's when their cities really came back to life. And even as I've seen in places in the East where the Soviets exerted more control, like you don't see as many churches in the East because a lot of them were destroyed during the time of communism or converted into other uses. But here in the West, in Lviv, they were able to hold on to those traditions a bit more. And so and this city is important for, you know, soldiers when they get a break, you know, and then for people and for refugees in the East, you know, it's an important lung of the country, a place they can breathe and be in a nice place. And but it's a reminder, I think, of what Ukrainians are fighting for. And today, October 1st, in the Ukrainian language, October, the word for October simply means yellowness. It's a first day of yellowness in keeping with the season here. And it's a today in the city of Lviv, which is a very Catholic city. It's not Orthodox, and it's full of churches. And the bells are ringing the entire morning today in a joyful way. And the churches were crowded on this Tuesday morning, and that's because today is a big dual holiday throughout Ukraine. Firstly, it's a day of spiritual defense. It's an ancient holiday to celebrate what they call the protective veil of the Holy Mother of God. And then it's also a day of physical defense because the soldiers in, you know, for centuries, soldiers in battle have sought the protection of the Virgin Mary in battle. And so today is also the day of the defenders of Ukraine. So it's sort of it's the day of the soldiers at the front, which is also tied to the religious holiday of the protection of the Mother of God. And an interesting twist on this, you know, one of the places right now of fiercest fighting is a small Ukrainian city of Pokrovsk, and that's in the east. And Pokrovsk, you know, I was there a couple of years ago. You know, it had a lot of Soviet architecture. It's in the east. It was influenced by Moscow heavily. But in the past, you know, since 2014, Ukrainians made it into a lovely city. Once again, a clean place, great parks, and all kinds of interesting businesses. Well, that city is in ruins now. Most of the civilians have evacuated. And this is the city that, you know, we've been hearing for almost 2 months now that the Russians are getting closer to, you know, and sort of the headlines even a month ago were saying this city is going to fall any day now into Russian hands. That has not happened yet. Indeed, the Russians are getting closer. But what's kind of interesting about the name of the city, Pokrovsk, is that word means the name of today's holiday. Pokrovsk means the protective veil of the Mother of God. And so that's the very city right now where, you know, so much attention is turned as the Russians are trying to take it. One reason Russians are trying, you know, we're talking about that city is because Russians cannot take Kyiv or Kharkiv, these much bigger cities, but they are trying to take this city named after this protection of the Mother of God. And I was talking with a friend who's a defender there, a soldier there, and the Russians, they are close enough now that they can send these horrible, you know, they can the first person drones, which that means that the person controlling the drone, you know, there's a camera on the drone and they can see the target that they want to hit. And so the Russians now are close enough to send the FPV drones to personally hit Ukrainian soldiers. And Ukraine, you know, Ukrainians use these drones too, and both sides are trying to improve the technology. But imagine you're a Ukrainian defender or one of the foreign volunteers who helps. You know, when you hear that sound of the drone, you know it's probably locked onto you, and there's not much you can do to get away from it. And so, just as a reminder, you know, as the people here in Lviv today were in the packed churches, you know, they were praying for this continued protection, this Pokrovsk. The protection of the Mother of God, protection for the defenders of Ukraine, as people are in the far east of Ukraine right now are needing those prayers in that same city, the city named for the protection of the Mother of God.
Joseph, do the people there look at Israel's recent successes in Lebanon and kind of lament the red lines the United States will not let Ukraine cross?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of talk about that. And I think, you know, because strangely in the United States, the people who tend to be doggedly in support of Israel are more skeptical of Ukraine.
Right.
And then the Americans who tend to support Ukraine tend to be more critical of Israel. But Ukraine's sort of in the middle. Ukrainians tend to stand with Israel as a fellow democracy under threat, pluralistic democracy. And so there is some frustration there. But you also see, you know, what Israel and because I know it's a touchy topic, but on a very basic level, you know, Israel going into Lebanon is something the West does not want to happen. And you could look at a small parallel, maybe Ukraine going into Kursk, mm-hmm. region of Russia. Now, the Ukrainians do it very differently. Ukrainians were not carpet bombing places and cities. It's a very different operation. Also, there was not resistance on the ground from the Russians. But this is... But the Kursk operation, by all accounts, Ukrainians entered Russia without the permission of the United States, and they didn't even tell the U.S. because they were afraid that someone would leak it to Russia. And so we do see some parallel in that, the idea that if you want to finally win, instead of letting this go on forever, you have to take some painful, decisive actions. And there's a little bit of connection there.
Yes, it's complex for sure. By the way, we have links to Joseph Lindsley's videos if you go to our website, WGNradio.com. Joe, appreciate the insights as usual. You take care.
Bob, until tomorrow. Thank you.